dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody in the SVC. This is Bruce Knox, and we, that is the other two gentlemen that I will introduce just in a moment, and I will bring you the show 227 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, and we really appreciate you listening in. Before I bring those dudes in, I want to thank Triple Crown Family Fun Center, our billboard sponsor, for being with us for 227 shows, hopefully a lot more than that. And they are a billboard sponsor. And, of course, at Triple Crown Family Fun Center, you can do all kinds of things. You can eat. You can party. You can use the super inflatable land, which is always my favorite. But I think they have a weight limit on that, so I'm no longer going. You can get all kinds of things at the sports bar as well, Bullseye Sports Bar. And you can play soccer. Did I mention soccer? They really do it up nice in the soccer leagues out there. Give them a call at 740-773-7529 and look for more detailed information on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Again, thank you so much, Triple Crown. We really appreciate your support. And now I want to bring in the two guys that know everything going on in the SBC sports world. First, our younger gentleman, Mr. John Bruce. Say hello, John.
Hey, Bruce, how are you doing tonight?
Thought you were fell asleep there for a second, but I'm fine.
I was close.
Okay. Was I talking too much? Really appreciate you being here. And did you take off for the Major League ballparks this week, or has this been a week in Chillicothe?
I didn't go to a Major League ballpark, but I did. I went down to Gloucester last night to watch the Trimble Tomcats and the Sensei Hills Christian Academy Eagles play football, and then went to Columbus today. So still, even without traveling much, still went over 250 miles this week.
All right. Well, that's 2,250 miles on the car in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it seems like. So, but we appreciate you joining us. And, of course, the soothsayer of all SVC sports, one Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, Shane?
I'm doing great, Bruce. I don't quite have that kind of excitement in my life, but I did take in a little fall baseball today, watching the nephew play baseball, and then got home and watched my taping of Tiger. Had to stay quiet and off my phone all afternoon so I could come home and watch it, not knowing. And then in those last couple holes, I was about ready to wish I did look.
Yes.
But no, that was a lot of fun. That was nuts. It's cool that the younger generation gets to see that, because that's unreal. Just that atmosphere and that whole scene today.
Coming to
seeing all those fans follow him on 18.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That could have gotten a little bit out of control, I would have thought. I mean, he was kind of coming through that crowd, and you don't see that. I think they made light of that on the broadcast, that you don't walk through the crowds too many places in major sports like that. And that was amazing. And hopefully everybody's already caught up and doesn't have that on their DVRs right now, because we just ruined it for you if that were the case. But, John, we're halfway through your first fall season here, and I think you do get some kind of like a little pin to put on your lapel for that.
All right.
Yeah, you got that to look forward to. So have you enjoyed it? And what do you look forward to for the remainder of the fall season?
I've had a great time. It's at these games, like normally I would see people and we'd talk here and there, but mm-hmm. now I'm getting kind of more conversation about different sports also, and people have different ideas for what we can talk about, and kind of just want to get, just my viewpoint on certain things. So that part's been pretty cool. Getting to see all kinds of different kids across the different sports, seeing how they're doing and achieving, and seeing our teams improve throughout the year. I really am looking forward to the last few weeks of football and then tournament time for the other sports, just to see how well our competitors can do.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, your thoughts on John's presence here with us and his comments there?
Well, I think what's happened, Bruce, is our website turns, 10, 11 years old this year, somewhere around there. We're eighth season of SVC Sports Talk. Mm-hmm. I think John has really helped. He has taken our website to a different level. I really believe that. I think, you know, we tried in covering all the SVC sports. So no matter how few or how many we think want to hear it, we want to be able to offer that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what John done for soccer knowledge, yeah, is off the charts. Him getting out covering some tennis, getting out still watching volleyball, and then obviously with his football and so forth, and what he's going to offer us in basketball and into the spring is just more of the same. So, you know, that's exciting to me. That's one thing I know Donna and I have always I've known one another well and good friends, but this has brought us, you know, a chance to even get to know each other better. And I've certainly enjoyed it. So John, I say thank you. And I just, I can't wait to see what, some of the things we're going to be able to do together moving forward.
Well, that is great. Like you said, we've done about, five shows so far, six shows, mm-hmm, something like that this year. And probably have about 24 more to go. So, you know, just stick around, John. It gets more fun as the year goes by. I guarantee
Sounds
it.
Good.
Well, Shane, let's revisit. Last week, we did a little commentary, if you will, a little talk on two sports at one time. And I know you had some feedback that you wanted to kind of discuss about that.
Well, fact that we threw it out there at the end of last week, I felt, yeah, like we need, I know we have a busy agenda, but I felt like we at least need to get some stuff in. Really, it was a mixed bag. You know, many are saying that we should be glad that kids are involved in something, staying active. I think we've touched on that. Mm-hmm. Others not agreeing with that. Mm-hmm. Some say it's way too much. You know, multiple sports, off-season commitment is kind of insane. You know, the high school kid. That one email talked about a high school kid playing football, playing fall baseball on the weekends, and then going to three open gyms a week, and they think it's too much. Look, you know, I don't know a perfect answer. I think John touched on this at the end of last week's show, and I agreed. Coaches, you have to offer it to keep up. So if you're running a program, you have to at least offer these things. And then it's kind of up to parents to monitor, know their kids, and then there has to be communication with all people involved. I think what happens at the bigger schools, I think there's more competition. At the small schools, a lot of times there's more programs almost out there begging kids to play. Mm-hmm. You know, so earning a spot here might not be the same as earning a spot over there. You know, it's one of those things. So no perfect answer, John, from where I sit. But I think kids active is a good thing. Honestly, it's probably harder on the adults sometimes, traveling around trying to organize the weekends and so forth. You know, when they're out working their 40, 50 hour week in their job, you know, being a parent every night, practices, different things, weekend, fall ball, travel this, travel that. That's probably the mixed bag where it's coming from. But so again, guys, no perfect answer in my opinion. I think we just have to really monitor it, and it's a case to case thing, in my opinion.
John, you had any reaction from your contacts with fans and so forth?
One fan I talked to brought up a good point of how the coaches not only work together like in the fall season, but in the summer, because summer's, you know, the big time for teams to get better. Well, what happens if you have a kid that plays three sports throughout the school year anyway? So it's not even covering within the same season. If you have a kid playing three in the school year, in the summer they're probably playing, we'll say, travel baseball, softball. Let's say they do basketball. Well, they're going to have open gyms, individual workouts, team camps. And I'll say, you know, volleyball, football, also team camps. Then you start getting ready for football season. Mm-hmm. All this stuff runs together. So not only do coaches have to work together within the same season, but coaches within the same school need to work together to, you know, keep these kids healthy, because like Shane, you brought up the one parent saying how, you know, the kid doing all those things in a week. Well, you know, at some point they got to be able to do homework. They got to be able to rest, because bodies aren't made to be doing all of that, all those different things at one time. So I do think we need to be careful with it. Some of the schools, I think it's great if you can have kids doing it, but I get why some people wouldn't want someone doing more than one sport in a season.
Well, and Bruce, I think the reason I say there's no perfect answer, the elite three sport athlete that we have to monitor is doing too much. You're talking about a completely different spectrum compared to that, say that junior high kid that we're worried is not staying active enough. He or she's not involved in a club or on a team or different things. And mom and dad seems a little concerned. I just got an email about a student the other day. Concern that, hey, I'd like to see him get involved in something. You see what I'm saying? So, like, you're talking about two, when I say mixed bag, you're talking about two completely different cases. And that's where I think the adults involved really have to use common sense and make sure that we're putting the proper plan in place for each kid.
Shane, do you want to continue to gather some comments on that, ask for comments on this type of subject?
Well, I never want to decide on when we close a topic. You know, we've always used that philosophy here. So as Bruce gives out that information later in the show, if there's something we're missing or another a point, you know, you see John, you see myself out of the game, or drop us an email or whatever you want to do, by all means, share it with us.
We will give you the contact information towards the end of the show. So just stick with us and we'll get to that a little bit later. You know, our headline segment over the past 2 weeks where we've used it in football, it's been a big hit, but one fan's asking for a little different use of that segment, and we'll explain that next. Well, we've indicated earlier that fan feedback this past week.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
A week ago, John, I'm so disappointed. A week ago, we had thrown out a request for some Alabama. And as we went into the first bump, I'm sitting here in anticipation. I'm wondering, is he going to go 18-wheeler? Is he going to go a little 20 aces? Is he going to go cheap seats? Maybe he's going to give us a little bit like, you know, you see that mountain over there? Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to climb that mountain. I'm going to get over it here, Bruce, but I'm just sitting in a little bit of disbelief.
Yeah, well, I want to, you know, you were expecting that. So I want the anticipation to build. I wasn't going to go to the Alabama bump music this week. I was saving it for later, for a special occasion, you know.
I just think it'd be good to just throw some anticipation on there and maybe you just go out of the box.
Well, that was kind of out of the box. That was blood, sweat, and tears, probably from the late 60s, early 70s. So, you know, if anyone has, you know, and I want to, you know, say something here, Shane. I saw today some Facebook comments about the bump music. So, you know.
Yes, I did too. I did see that. So I have to give a shout out to you on that. Yes.
Well, so somebody out there likes it. So we'll get some Alabama in at a later date. I just didn't want to, you know, I want you to keep listening to the show.
Yes.
And keep paying attention.
I apologize to disrupt the agenda.
Oh, that's,
there.
That's quite
all
right.
I was just waiting. I thought for sure it was coming. And then no.
No. Sorry. We'll get to it. I promise. Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, as I was saying, you know, fan feedback this past week included an email that indicated they just loved the headline style that we've been using for football, but they wanted us to give some headline love to the other fall sports. So as we focus on our fall sports around the SVC, we will do just that here momentarily. But first, I want to mention that, you know, this segment is sponsored by North Fork Animal Clinic and Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff out there at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. They are open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and they have the Animal Resort out there open from 7 to 7 Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. That's North Fork Animal Clinic, 740-773-PETS. Easy to remember, 740-773-7387. Appreciate their support. So, guys, we're going to go to the headline love, as they call it, for the other fall sports. And the first fall sport that we're going to involve in this is soccer. So I'm going to have to go with John first on this one, since soccer's sort of his baby, if you will.
Yeah.
So what say you, John?
All right, so we've been talking mostly girls soccer all year, so I'm going to go a little different and say the Roscoe Cup rivalry renews on Tuesday. It made sense back in 1998 when it started for the Zane Trace and Uniota, the big soccer match they played every year, be for the Ross County Cup. But then Chillicothe started to kind of slide back on their size, and then Southeastern comes in with soccer. So maybe not for just the bragging rights in Ross County, because there are four schools, but these schools have played it. This will be the 21st time they've played for it. Every few years they would play two games a season. Every once in a while they'd play in the tournament, but they would always choose the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow in the previous 20 meetings, there has not been a tie. Wow. Because there is a, I don't know if it's actually in the bylaws of it. I think it was always mentioned, like, if there's a tie, we're going to play until we get a winner.
Wow.
But there's never been one. So it'll be interesting to see on Tuesday. Zane Trace has kids like Sean Johnson, Luke Johnson, Christian Verse, Andrew Ramsey, going up against Union, who's playing really well right now. Ricardo Cerrone, Ethan Kearns, VJ Wangui, Bryce Robinson, Hayden Longcoy. And I want to give a special shout out to Connor Clary. Wednesday night, he had a car accident. And there were reports that I had heard when I was at school that day was he's not gonna be able to play. He's gonna be out for a while because, you know, it was not a good looking wreck. He goes out and plays 60 plus minutes against Waverly Thursday night, the day after a car wreck. And people try to say soccer kids aren't tough. I mean, that's a tough kid. And it's just, I think that'll be a fun matchup Tuesday night at Uniota. It's just something for people to come out and watch and see some good soccer.
All right. Shane, do you have a soccer headline, or is,
appreciate history, greatness, and process. I think what's so neat about soccer is I look at the sport and its growth in our area is how there's a lot of different programs at a lot of different places. John just kind of touched on it there. He talked about two programs that have been doing this for a long, long time, and then he touched on other programs that are trying to build from the bottom up and start. And so, you know, in a year where we've had the greatness of a Jayla Campbell in what the Uniota girls team is doing, you also have the growth of the Westfall girls program, Southeastern boys and girls, the Zane Trace longevity. So there's some programs, John, that are knocking on the doorstep of maybe regional and state success, while there's other programs that are building from the bottom up and they're starting to have winning seasons, and then they're starting to have back-to-back winning seasons. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden I'm starting to hear expectations. As I get texts and emails in from coaches, I'm starting to see the anticipation of the draw coming up, and hey, you know, we might have a chance at advancing into that district level. And that's really neat to see. So that's something that I'm anxious to keep an eye on, and I love following John's updates on all these things. But, you know, we've had historical things take place, but we've had some greatness in terms of some teams. But I love these programs going through the process, guys, that are really starting to help grow our game of soccer into something that can be a more consistent league sport year in, year out.
And I do want to give a shout out. You said for the future. I watched Southeastern Boys on Wednesday. They beat Sheridan, who's the first year program, 8-0. But all eight goals were scored by freshmen.
Yes, I saw
Southeastern
that.
Boys. Yeah. So I mean, that's part of the future you're talking about, and it should be exciting for folks out in Londonderry.
No question. Good.
All right, we're going to move along to our golf headline here, but first we want to tell you that it is sponsored by Crown Hill Golf Club. That's located up in Williamsport, Port, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West. Give them a call at 740-986-4653 and sincerely tell them that you heard about it on SVC Sports Talk and really kind of what you need, what you're looking for. They do have a lot of packages and so forth on their website. We encourage you to look that up as well. And, of course, they have the banquet facilities. And I know some of the SVC teams have had some games up there, some matches and so forth, some outings, and they really, really support SVC Golf as much as they can up there, and we truly appreciate that. We truly appreciate their support here of the podcast as we move into the golf headline, and because this is kind of a little bit more Shane's territory, we're going to go to him first for his golf headline.
Well, guys, let's go. Legendary coach quietly wins again. And anyone who knows Coach Drummond knows what I'm saying with the quietly there. Such a class act. He'll be the first to tell you. He'll throw the respect and the credit straight to the kids with Ty Schoblock, our back-to-back player of the year. Jacob Calvin, super, super player. A kid that would be player of the year in a lot of other years when you look at his scorecards throughout the year. And Gerber and Steinbrück and Kottenbach. I know Emily Lott had a score within that was in the winning total the other day. Now Emily will go, I saw, into the girls tournament and participate individually there. Keep in mind, guys, that we use the 6-player format in our regular season, where in the tournament they only use 5. So it kind of works out well that Uniota will be able to still keep a varsity team in place while allowing Emily to go play in the girls tournament. But, you know, Dan Drummond, you know, the league goes back to the fall of 1993. Now, keep in mind, in the fall, guys, that's the senior class of 94. There's been 6 years now of golf. That's 18 titles for Coach Drummond, 17 of them outright. I think Piketon's won 5, Westfall won, Huntington 2. Huntington won an outright and was the one it shared, which have been the seniors in 96, the fall of 1995. They shared that year with Huntington Uniota. But, you know, 18 titles in 26 years. And, you know, recently we honored Laura Smith, and mm-hmm. I think Coach Drummond is right there behind her in terms of longevity greatness. Keep in mind, with no league titles before then, Uniota had a lot of good teams in the late 80s, early 90s in golf that, you know, that or that total could be a lot higher. So certainly with tournament week, I want to give a shout out to Maddie Schultz and the Lady Mustangs as they start a quest on something I think can be really good. You'll see a lot of our other ladies at play that will move into the girls tournament, just like I mentioned with Emily. Best of luck to them, but to all of our teams going into the tournament. But for this particular end of the regular season, guys, I just felt like this particular headline needed to belong to Uniota and the Coach Drummond there.
All right. John, do you have a golf headline for us?
A little bit. Okay. Yeah, it's just time for individuals to shine on the tournament trail. You know, we go a lot of team stuff throughout the year for good measure because, you know, you do play for the SVC championship within the team. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how kids like Ty Schoblock, Jacob Calvin, Denzel Endicott, Braden Felger, and I mean, how they do in the tournament. See how many of them can advance if teams aren't going to advance, which hopefully we get some teams to move on into district play. But I think we've got some good low scores at the top end of our league. And then, of course, Maddie Schultz, she's going to be really the big one to watch for. But also, I'd like to see how Emily Lott does and a couple of the other girls that have been playing in the from the men's tees to see, you know, how they can adjust their game.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is great for golf. Let's go to cross country next, and I'm going to go to Shane for his headline first on this one.
Well, I kind of look at cross country a little bit of what John was saying there, you know, just a second ago at golf. I say a look beyond the league. What happens a lot of times when I talk to track coaches in the spring, I get a lot of the same stuff from cross country coaches in the fall. And it's that bigger school dominance So what happens is it becomes more about the postseason. And what happens – this is true in golf too. What happens in golf and cross country and some of these, our league is able to disperse in a lot of different ways, not just in division, but a lot of times even into the different parts of the sites. And – the league race will be important, but what happens, kids fighting for all league and some different things. But it is interesting because as fans, sometimes we think of the season ending with the league. And when you talk to people within the sport, it's kind of the real season is just beginning. You'd watch the schedule this past weekend. Rio and Lancaster and Centerville. I don't have that one up yet. That was the night race last night. Mm-hmm. Next week we'll have the same thing. Some will be at Piketon. Some will be taking off, traveling to up in the Columbus area and some different things. So, it's a lot of the preview of what happens in tournament here. And as we get kids to separate out, I think you're going to see a lot of different representation in cross country. It just takes a little bit of patience to wait for them to get there so you can kind of see how it all unfolds.
All right, John, your cross country headline.
It's just chasing perfection. I mean, with Uniota, just to see how with the league meet coming up, to see if they can have a perfect men's score again, and then see if anyone can get into that top five outside of Uniota. But also on the girls' side, just really looking forward to seeing some of the times. I know Zane Trace usually has a strong team. See how Uniota does. I know they're young. Just kind of interested to see how everything shapes up going into the tournament and see if some of those times out at Huntington can kind of get cut down a little bit now that people have ran on the course.
Yeah, I'd say Westfall Zach Shipley, guys, is the one guy that has the best chance from the results we've seen so far to maybe break that up. So that might be a name. He's a senior there at Westfall, mm-hmm. chance to maybe do that. That's a good call there, John.
All right. Let's head to our last subject here in our headline segment around as we look around different sports around the SVC, and that is tennis. And for this, of course, I'm going to let John go first. So what do you got for us in tennis, John?
All right. Can the Shermans advance two singles to the district play? I mean, obviously, Sylvia Gray is going to advance to the districts unless something – very strange happens. Hopefully avoids the injury bug, everything like that. But just really interested to see how Macy Bridenball does. She went into the district play as a double last year. And then she's, I believe, 12-1. I know she's played one less official match than Sylvia has. So does she go into the doubles again this year, or does she go as a singles? Just really interested to see how she does down the tournament trail. And if she does not go to the doubles, see how one of their doubles teams that I believe has a junior and a freshman, Edwards and Thiel, see how they would do if they're entered into the sectional play. I know they had the draw today. And if you've seen some of our district sites are posted online, you're not seeing anything from it. So hopefully I can run into Coach Gray this week and find out, a little bit more on that. But just really interested to see how these girls do.
All right. What do you got, Shane?
I'm going to go making a statement at state. I think, first of all, what John talked about was certainly in my notes here. I think the year that Bridenball, John, my recent update from Wednesday the 19th had Uniota beating Logan to go 10-5, and that put Bridenball at 13-1 with her win.
Okay.
And in Gray at 15-0, so it is 13-1. But yeah, I certainly had Bridenball in my notes, and I think what Griesheimer and Edwards and Thiel and Thomas and Anna, some of those kids have done throughout the year, the improvements they've made in their game is really cool. But I guess I'm going to go the other route since you kind of went there and say making a statement as state. I think for Sylvia Gray, she's working so hard over the entire year on her game. She's not challenged much here in Southeast Ohio. We've kind of made, even some light of that throughout the year. Now it really gets to go time. You get there the first couple of years, and now you just seeing – can she make a little bit more of a push in that bracket? I'm just anxious to see that because I always look for greatness to push forward. So, you know, we're all cheering for her, and just as a sports fan, I'm anxious to watch that.
Well, gentlemen, that concludes our headline look at some of the sports around here. By spreading love with the headlines and those some of those other sports, it allows us to catch up on football in the inbox. Up next, we take the emails and play some fair, unfair, and hand out interim grades for SVC football. As we move into our football discussion, it's sponsored by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their telephone number up there, 740-986-4653. It's still decent enough weather. You can get up there and hit some balls around for the fall season. We're just into fall, as a matter of fact. So give them a call, and when you do, please mention that you heard about them on SVC Sports Talk, and they are prone to, once you tell them what you need or what you're looking for and as far as play and so forth, they will work with you to see if they can't design some kind of package for what you're looking for. And don't forget, if you're looking for some place to have a banquet or something, a special outing, Crown Hill has those facilities as well. Look them up on the web or call them at 740-986-4653. Gentlemen, as I mentioned, we want to play a little fair, unfair on this first thing. We've got a fan who wrote into the inbox and says that he or she was not from Paint Valley or Southeastern, and they said that it's hard to know exactly what to think about these two schools. Because when you look at the schedule, both teams have played the easiest five schools to this point, and now they have the five toughest games on the backstretch. Is that fair or unfair? Shane, we'll go to you first for your reaction on this.
Well, again, in what Bruce just read, that's the words of the person in the email, not mine. I do my best to just try to read it and take it for what it is. On the surface, if you're simply asking me to judge the schedule, I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think if you are implying that these teams have not proven that they are good, I think that's completely unfair. So again, I'm going to try to just take the words for what they are and the way I look at it and say, if you're just asking me to look at the schedule, I do. I think, you know, you look at each other, Southeastern and Paint Valley, both 4-1, 5-0 respectively. And then you look at Unio Desane, Trace Adina, Westfall, the teams that they're referring to that would be left on their schedule, John. Those teams are combined 13-6. And the only losses out of the six losses, you're looking at either each other or Waverly. So, I mean, again, on the surface, I think that's a very, very fair comment. But keep in mind that, you know, Ruby's incredible. Nusser, Thurston. Mm-hmm. Downing, Winfield, the O-line that is back at Southeastern is as good as ever. You know, Coach Gallagher reading off some of those names the other night, man, they still got a lot of power up front and their ability to run. Now, on the Paint Valley side, Newland's been efficient, been playing really, really well for them. The running game with Eisen and Cockrell, you talk about a 1-2 punch. It's almost like they were just taking turns the other night in series and just taking, you know, so they're always fresh. They combine a little physicality and then their open field speed. Mellor giving some physicality in between the tackles. And what that's done this year, guys, where those guys were hurt in the past, you've taken an athlete like McDonald and you've allowed him to play in space a little bit more. I know he's made some big plays in the passing game. He had a touchdown catch the other night. You know, McFadden has that speed. Davis has that kind of speed. And Chapman and so many other names across the board. So, and then give some credit to the offensive line there at Paint Valley. They've been really good. And then Jackson Williams in the kicking game. I watched him earlier in the year, and he was just kind of starting to figure it out. The other night when I watched him, the ball came off his foot real, real well. So we always talk about the kicking game, John, being such a factor. You know, he starts to add that to Paint Valley mm-hmm. as well. So I just think these two teams are really, really good. I think they are what their record says they are, which is good. But as far as the schedule goes, yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I think Coach Gallagher, Coach Holland would tell you that, you know, it's only going to get tougher down the stretch here.
John, your reaction to this email?
I'm pretty much the same way on yours, with, I'd say, mostly fair because of the schedule. But, I mean, really, Vinton County and Wellston are not pushovers, and those are, that Vinton County was the one Southeastern loss, and, I mean, Pain right. Valley blanks Wellston. It is fair because the teams they've played haven't been great, but man, some of these performances they're putting on are just, they're pretty dominating. And I mean, when you got a player like Lane Ruby, you know, it's, I would never count out Southeastern. And say what you want about their schedule, I mean, I'm sure people were saying the same thing about Southeastern's schedule last year, and they go 11-1. So it didn't affect too much last year. They play a unique style. They have a lot of athletes. I mean, obviously, they have the one superstar, but they have a great line, a lot of athletes. I mean, they're going to be a tough beat for anybody this year. And then you named off all those kids from Pain Valley. And just looking through my notes, I mean, I'm pretty sure you missed about 15 different kids that also took shots for them. Because every week, it's just like, oh, okay, so they just scored. I hadn't seen them. Oh, they scored. You know, it's... McFadden hadn't even been mentioned until last week, and he scored. And I remember I joked with you up at Westfall, like, so he's still playing. It's just like, you know, these teams, you know, that we'll see their schedules do get a little tougher, but I wouldn't be shocked to see these teams, you know, continue rolling like they have been, you know, as the season does get a little tougher for them. But a lot of confidence for those teams, really well-coached teams. It's, I think it's fair, but also, like you said, it is unfair in parts because they're still very good teams.
My consummate politicians out there, both of you, you both sit on the fence there and say fair, unfair to that question, but that's okay. All right, guys. You're smart. That's correct. This next email, a little different, and we're going to kind of handle it a little differently. It starts out and says, I know you guys are teachers, so if we're going to grade the football teams at the halfway point, I would grade them as follows. So what I want to do, this person went on to say, can't wait to hear you guys discuss these on this week's show, and thanks. So what we're going to do, I think these are in alphabetic order for the SVC, and I'm going to read their grade that they provided, he or she, in this email. And then I want you guys to kind of react to it, and we'll just, to keep things simple, we'll just go first to Shane and then to John on each of these things. So
okay.
For the grade for Adina, this person gives a B. Shane?
Well, I think when you're grading, if you're just judging a winning type of thing, it'd either be a pass-fail. So, I mean, I assume because they're not all, you know, A's or F's, I assume that we are looking at expectations of these teams. And when I look at Adina at a B, you know, their only loss being to Uniota, that's about as low as I would go. You know, Sykes has been good, and Fogelsong and incredible. Throckmorton, two more scores the other night. Logan Bennett and a kickoff return. So, that's certainly as low as I would go. But I would say B is probably probably a pretty fair assessment.
John?
I'd go A-, because they have more wins than last year already. They had a week off. So in five or six less games than last year, they've already won more games. I know they're getting a little older, and so the expectations are going to rise with a really talented sophomore group. But, I mean, they were very competitive with Uniota, and just, you know, they have to be above expectations, in my opinion, because I thought they were going to be, you know, a lower half of the league team this year. And so far, they've been very impressive.
Okay. All right. Next school is Huntington. And the person who sent the email graded them a C. Shane?
Well, I see C and I see average. And I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, here's an offense scoring over 30 a game. Their numbers are up. The appearance of the program is up. Now, it may be tough to park out there or wait in line at the concession stand, but if I'm just looking at the football program only, this thing's on its way up. I mean, Elijah McCloskey's putting up some special numbers, getting a lot of people involved. We know how good Beeler is, Kinzer and Halbau and Knowles, and a lot of different people getting involved. So my expectation for them was win your three non-league games and compete at a high level in the SVC. I think Southeastern and Paint Valley would both tell you that that Huntington pushed them in the first half of their contest. So I would probably push it up more to a B plus A minus, just from the standpoint of for where Huntington is. I think they're accomplishing exactly at the halfway point what they needed to accomplish here in 2018.
John?
Yeah, I'd go more towards a B plus because, like Shane said, they're accomplishing more than what they've done in the past. They won their three non-league games. I guarantee Huntington and Pay Valley will come out and say, man, they're not just a pushover anymore. And Huntington's always competed hard. I mean, you always knew that whenever you're playing Huntington, they're going to give you everything they got for 48 minutes, 32 minutes, whatever the sport is. And, you know, now it appears that they're getting a little more football skill, too. So while they may not have a lot of league success this year, getting the higher numbers out, being more competitive will continue to get more numbers out, and they'll keep rising. And I just think it's above average for them so far.
All right. For the next one, which is Paint Valley, PV, this person gave an A-. Shane?
Well, yeah, again, goal is to win, right? I mean, you're 5-0. I mean, that's about as good as you're going to be at this point. Now, you know, the defense comes in averaging 3.7. I understand McCloskey kind of racked up some yards on him the other night. But keep in mind, Elijah McCloskey's a kid that is on pace to have a hand in almost 3,000 yards of offense this year. So he's doing that to a lot of people. We just went over a long list of names for Paint Valley. The balance is there. We also did recognize that 2, 3, 4 games coming up on them, the competition's going to start to really pick up here. But, hey, this is a good football team. This is a team that's been building for this for the last 2 years in the weight room. And now all of a sudden those freshman sophomores have become junior seniors. And, again, we'll see. But at this point, if you're grading them, I think anything out of the A range is completely unfair.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I'd go A. I was close to A+, but then, you know, Huntington scoring a little bit more on them last week. But still, I mean, the goal is to win games.
Right.
And they've been pretty dominant so far. Like Shane said, it'll get a little tougher coming up. But at the same time, a lot of confidence. Really good group of athletes. Super fast. I mean, you can't really ask for much better than a 5-0 start. So, you know, I would have to say A, and like Shane said, it'd be unfair to go any lower.
All right. Our next school up would be Piketon. And this person, rather severe, gives an F. Shane?
Well, again, I think we're in a business of results, and obviously 0-5 is not what we're used to seeing at Piketon. But, again, if they said in the email that, yeah, I am a teacher, and I kind of look at this a little differently, John, from the standpoint of if I was in my progress book putting in a grade, I would probably try to exclude some of these and maybe look at it as an incomplete with this being the interim. The reason I say that is, again, I know that the results have to be a D or F. Again, we're in the results of business. We have to win. But I also know that Piketon's been a little bit shorthanded, and I've had two sources from Piketon tell me that they could be getting some help this week. So I'm just anxious to see. I've talked in the past shows what this spread offense could look like a little bit different when you start to put an elite athlete to the outside to complement some kids. So we know Galloway can sling it a little bit. They've certainly had a tough start with Paint Valley and Southeastern. Waverly Valley's has a nice team this year. Tyler Gulligan doesn't need me to sit here and give, you know, go to bat for him. But I can tell you, we're talking about one of the really, really good coaches in not just football, but in our entire SVC league. So certainly can't sugarcoat the F for Piketon. But again, I could say incomplete because I think this could be a completely different team here in a week or so once they get at full strength.
Okay, John?
It's hard for me to go away from the F because, I mean, I agree with the incomplete, but at the same time, how many athletes are they going to get that are going to help their defense? Because their defense has given up over 40 points a game. So
that's fair. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're their offense should get a lot more, you know, exciting and should be more together with an addition. But that defense is something they really got to shore up, and hopefully they can get some kids healthy, because I know they've had some injuries also. And if they get some, I mean, they've got some really good athletes down at Piketon, and they're used to winning. They have good coaching staff. It's kind of a unique offense for our league, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, be able to bump it up to a D, maybe C minus, because if they can get some confidence and get something going on defense, find a scheme that works for them, you know, things could turn around for them. Because I'm not convinced that they're as bad as what they've been, but it's hard to go away from, you know, the F right now.
All right.
Yeah, Bruce, what I'm really looking at real quick there, Bruce, too, is, you know, when I looked at some of these other teams in the league, I didn't know that Piketon would win more than they would lose. I do think I speak for a lot of people when I thought this offense would post a little bit more in terms of number and points. So that, regardless of the winning and losing, I guess that's what I'm looking for in the weeks to come, because that's always kind of been the staple down there at Piketon, is to see offensively if they don't become a little bit more explosive now.
All right. Our next school within the SVC is Southeastern, and this email writer gave them a B. What say you, Shane?
Well, similar to a Dean, I think B is that's about as low as I would go. I would flirt more with an A. Here's our defending champs at 4-1. And again, they kind of seem under the radar. You know, when people start talking, they start talking Uniota, they start talking Zane Trace, they start talking Paint Valley. And then you're almost like, wait, remember the team that went 10-0 last year? You know, so they were hit by graduation and the preseason headlines and so forth kind of had them flying under the radar again. But here's a team that's balance that I talked about in the previous answer on the fair unfair. Mm-hmm. They're tough to play against. They shorten the game. They run it at you. So when Ruby does pull it back and get some other guys involved in the passing game, defensively they seem to hold their own up front. So B certainly as low as I go. I could probably stretch that to an A minus. Again, I think with Paint Valley, we recognize in the fair and fair that the competition's about to pick up. But John made a great point. We said the same thing last year, and you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, we were sitting here at, you know, what, 7-0, 8-0 in that particular year, thinking, okay, maybe they are good. You know, so
yeah,
I with the names I mentioned earlier and with what they have coming, we're sitting here at the halfway point. I could probably get that up to a B-plus, even A-minus range, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. John, your thoughts on Southeastern?
Yeah, I'd bump them up to a B-plus. I mean, it's very close to just a solid A if the kicking game wasn't so bad in the second week. Well, I can't say bad. It was non-existent. They weren't even giving attempts to it. But it appears that they're able to make extra points now, which is a major improvement. And that, to me, would bump them closer to that A line, because they are, you know, if they get one of the two-point conversions in that game, they're 5-0. So, you know, they're 1 point from being 5-0. They last year, I know people were kind of saying the same thing, you know, what really do they have, because they've been down for a long time. Well, they haven't been down long now, or they're more up now, because it's two straight winning seasons on their way to a third straight. And you know, you have a extremely dynamic quarterback, great line play. It's just, you know, I'm excited to see how they do in the next few weeks as schedule gets a little tougher, because I do think that they're going to make another push towards a league title and at the very least to the playoffs.
All right. Next up is Uniota. And this emailer said that they were graded out at a B+. What say you, Shane?
Well, I mean, that's certainly a tough way to look at it. You know, they lost to a Waverly team, and they played really well for three quarters in that loss. Even you know, the shutout at Zane Trace on the road. They're playing. They're still playing out Skaggs. Is that correct, John?
Yes.
Any news on him? Is, I mean, that's an awfully good football player they're doing this without.
He appeared to be walking around more normal this weekend, on the sideline. So I think he's getting closer. He was in a sling for a couple weeks. He's not in it now, so he should be back soon, but that's
That's a good, big, good football player. They're doing this well. So, you know, Carroll's obviously becoming the workhorse. You know, when you look at what, you know, he's shouldering, and but that Uniota offensive line is legit. You know, I know they got the Paint Valley game coming up, and then, you know, after that they go Southeastern, Westfall, Huntington, Pike. And I don't know. I mean, I know some people have a concern. The word balance, like the lack of balance, is concerning people. They feel like, can this kid continue to go 25, 30, 35, 40 touches a week? You know, I've talked to some former, you know, featured backs in our league, and, you know, their take is, you know, why not? If he takes care of his body and he goes about it, you know, you're young once. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where – so, again, yeah. I always kind of try to go out and get that knowledge, because I grew up, you know, in a time where I played four or five sports in high school, but I didn't play football. You know, when I was in high school at Uniota, football was just something we kind of did in the fall until basketball started. And, you know, then it got a lot better there in the mid to late 90s and started to build. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, a lot of people say yes, but gosh, if that's your concern, I can see where the B plus is coming from. But I think B plus might be the toughest grade here. I mean, here's a team only lost to Waverly with what they've done. I'd probably have to bump that up to an A, but that's just me.
Okay. John, your thoughts on Uniota? Yeah,
I would go B plus, but just because of the balance. The offense hasn't been as explosive, but at the same time, I mean, the other night against St. Trace, they ran almost the last 8 minutes off the clock just by running the ball. And St. Trace knew it was coming, but that offensive line got enough push and, you know, runs 8 minutes off the clock. That's really impressive. So, you know, B plus, A minus. Their defense has been really good. Dalton Ford has, I mean, we've heard about him as an offensive lineman. He's turned into a monster on the defense line with Tim Diamond. When they get Chris Skaggs back, man, that's going to be a fast defense. And you know, the Leffler kid has moved to the wide out. So, I mean, that's a 6'2", 6'3" target out wide. That's a really good athlete and somebody who can sling the ball too, in case something happens with Carroll or they decide they need to throw the ball a little bit more. So it's, you know, I'm not as concerned with the amount of carries DeMarcus has had, just because I know the kid so well, and I know how much he takes care of himself, and he's running for an extra purpose right now. And, you know, I think he'll be okay. It helps that they have that strong line, but, the balance part does worry me a little bit, but.
Well, if he were carrying it 35 times and getting 100, the balance would concern me. But when he carries it that and gets like 400, you know.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. For Westfall, the emailer gives a C-. Shane?
John, I think this is spot on, and let me tell you why. I think you talked about how big a game you thought Adina Westfall was this past week. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if to use the analogy within the grading, I almost thought this was a full letter grade game. I felt like this was one of those standing games. You talked about playoffs. We talked about league standings. We talked about a lot of different things. And that's why I would push Adina more to that A-, B-plus range. And I do think this loss pushes Westfall down to the C-. Now, I think anything under the C range starts to get unfair because, again, this is a team that had a winning record in the first half with wins over some bigger schools in the non-league and been very, very competitive so far in league play. But I'm just not sure what to make of this Westfall team offensively. You know, we've highlighted some of the long list of athletes in all of our shows, and maybe this is where the offensive line play of Uniota, of Southeastern, of Adina, of some of these teams are really separating themselves, and maybe Westfall's not winning enough up front. I do think the defense is better, but with the athletes they have, a lot of those points the other night still came late, which basically I remember saying to myself halfway through the third quarter, you're starting to almost push seven SVC quarters of what, 6-point football. And, you know, it's just, to me, there's more there in that particular offensive unit. A lot of it's self-destruction. You and I watched last week where you snapped over the head. I watched, you know, like with Huntington the other night, just not being able to snap and just punt the ball away cost them 14 points. So maybe some of these teams like Westfall have things that are very correctable. But I think the C-minus is fair from the standpoint of that one game was probably almost an entire letter grade in my mind.
Okay. John, what about Westfall for you?
Yeah, I'd probably go up towards C plus, mostly because of all of the stuff they had to deal with in the preseason.
Fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had a kind of like hard to say it a different way, but a lot of drama going on before. They didn't know what was going on with some certain things, and then the quarterback. I can't think of his name right now.
Gibson?
Oh, yeah, Gibson. I mean, Gibson wasn't cleared for week one. I mean, so they had to deal with that, and they go out and get a win week one, and then, you know, Gibson comes back weeks two and three. They get two more wins. Now, the reason why I wouldn't bump it up to, you know, the B level was those three teams they beat are combined 0-15 right now. Mm. So, but like you said, they're a team who I think we had more expectations for their offense. A lot of self destruction, a lot of like careless penalties, and it's just you think that there's going to be more, and I think there should be more, and I really think that we could see that in the second half of the year. With these kids, a lot of them knowing that these are going to be possibly the last 5 weeks of their career if they don't tighten some stuff up. So I'm really interested to see how they bounce back off of the last 2 weeks.
All right. And finally, Zane Trace, who this emailer graded out at a C. Shane?
I think this one's a little harsh. I mean, out of all of them, this is probably the one I thought was maybe – the furthest from the reality. I understand that they're 3-2, but you also have to understand you lose to Waverly and Uniota, two most likely playoff teams at a pretty high level in terms of division. I don't know. I mean, to me, Zane Trace on pace to be a 7-3, 8-2 football team. That's about, yeah. If I look at teaching from an expectation or added value or growth, I mean, that's not that far off of, you know, as I said earlier, the final results, if it's just results 100%, you know, we would have one team with an A and everybody else with an F. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, I look at it a little bit differently, and I know people might say, hey, Shane and John, you're grading too easily. The only thing I would say to that is, you know, look at the standings right now in the overall column. We're at the halfway point. We have seven football teams with a winning record. So I think this is a year where we have some teams and some individuals doing some good things, and we're grading as such. At the end of the year, if some of these teams start to fall off and we do this again, then maybe the grades will drop a little bit. But you know, right now with seven teams at 3, 4, or 5 wins, the grade should be high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. John, Zane Trace.
I go B minus, just because there's certain things they've done. You know, obviously playing Uniota and Waverly, it's tough to get wins against those schools right now with how they've been playing. But just the other night, I mean, up at Westfall, they had, you know, 4 or 5 equipment issues where they had to have players sent off to get their equipment aligned right. And then the other night at Uniota, they have a first and 10 from the 11, and they run a fullback dive where the fullback dives over the line trying to, I think, score. So there's some things that have gone on that have been a little weird. And then the next two plays snaps over the quarterback's head, and just kind of shot themselves in the foot. And I thought they kind of did that a little bit up at Westfall also. So while they're young, they have a lot of first year varsity players. They also have enough talent to where if they can rein it in and, you know, get these things all, you know, aligned the right way, that this is a team that can finish 8-2. And, you know, that's, I would have a hard time saying anything but an A at that point. So, you know, right now, just some little mistakes with a lot of new players, and they're pretty close to being an A, because that game on Friday was, I mean, it was 21-0. But they had the ball inside the red zone 3 different times.
Right.
And yeah, so I mean, just tighten up some little things and then go from there.
Very athletic group, yep.
Yes.
All right, guys, thank you for your input on our grade card here for the SVC football programs, and we appreciate the idea and the input from the email writer, and we'll give you a little bit later in the show the emails that you can use to get a hold of these guys and submit your ideas and your thoughts. That'll come up just in a little bit. But first, volleyball fans, up next, we will look at Unieto's Big Week, and we'll introduce a new volleyball segment that will allow Shane to talk a little bit of everything in SVC volleyball. And our volleyball segment is going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic and Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where we care. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12. The resort, the resort for your pets out there, where they'll take good care of them while you're away, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Telephone number 773-PETS, 773-7387. Give Dr. Blake Lloyd and his folks a call. They can help you with all your veterinary needs. So, Shane, before we go any further, I wanted just to kind of give you an opportunity to react a little bit to Unieto's win over Southeastern here.
Well, it was obviously a huge win. That's no secret. Southeastern takes the first set. What was so ironic about it, guys, is you felt like Unieto was kind of in control of the first set for a while, and then Southeastern in the middle there, they make a run, get control. And then in the second and third set, Southeastern probably has to look at the film and feel like they could have won the thing in straight sets. And right around 18, 19, 20, 21, right in that ballpark of the second and third set, it just kind of got away from them. And then, obviously, Unieto dominates the fourth set. So, give all the credit in the world to Unieto. I thought with Pinkerton back in the lineup, the last time I'd seen them, she was out. We highlighted that in the previous show. Mm-hmm. It really allowed Cottrell and Miller a little bit more comfort in their defensive rotations. And then, obviously, with the size up there at the net, the way they block, that makes the life of for a player that much easier because they can really read the shoulders and kind of see where they need to get to. But I thought Unieto's back row play was really good. I thought Coleman and Eldridge did a good job of distributing. And then big night for Fisher, big night for McGlone and Cottrell and Stolle and Strickland and Pierce across the net there. And, they get the win for Southeastern. It'll be a regroup. But I just thought for them, when they started to relax and serve tough – late in the first set, I thought that was their key. And in that risk reward, I think sometimes you have to realize you're going to miss some. But I thought as the night went on, their serving just really left them. And I thought that was the difference in the match. I really do.
All righty. Well, I mentioned earlier that we're going to introduce a new segment. We're going to call this Serve and Receive. What it's going to consist of is John's going to ask Shane some questions here. And I'll let you take off from there, John.
All right. Shane, I just wanted to get some feedback on a variety of volleyball topics. So I'll give you a quick phrase, and then if you can give me a response and an explanation. Got it?
Okay.
All right. So what is your biggest shock of the first half of the SBC season?
Well, for me, I think we said anything that happens 3-6 in the league could not be surprising because it was a toss-up. But like we thought the top two were kind of untouchable, so I think mm-hmm. the Huntington win over Unieto would have to be the one.
All right. Now, what is a little thing that has been kind of overlooked by the majority of the fans of the league?
Maybe it's just the coach in me that looks for this type of thing, but how about the leadership of Reese Kearns? I know Adina was mm-hmm. forced to play 5-1 the other night in the setting attack, had 32 assists, 22 digs, and a win over Huntington. It starts the second half. This is a young team, kind of a roller coaster, but I watch her leadership skills, and I, you know, sometimes it's hard to lead. When you're a 6-2 setter and you leave the floor for three rotations, it's kind of hard not being in the huddle or leading from the bench. And that 5-1 the other night, her leadership and the way she really sticks with the young kids and her positive attitude, Adina becomes a team that I think could have a winning second half in the league, maybe even as good as 5-2. Keep an eye on them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what is an under the radar team to look for, you know, maybe the second half of the SBC season or maybe for tournament play?
Oh, I think there's no question it's Zane Trace. Here they are quiet. I say quietly because we're not talking about them much. 12-3. Their only losses to Uniota, Southeastern in four, Huntington in four. But Maddie Rand, Evie Bennett, and Hannah Unger, that's kind of been their big three. All league, all district talents there. That sophomore class coming back a year older with Bennett and Hill and some of those girls. Hell up front there. The Zane Trace for sure at 12-3 would fit that answer.
Yeah, I just want to drop in. When I was, you know, watching the Uniota New Albany soccer game the other day, and I see WKKJ posted that, you know, St. Trace rolled Nelsonville in three sets. That really opened my eyes on, man, that's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now who's a quiet star across the league for you?
Well, there's a lot of things here, depending on how you look at it. You know, I know, and I had a chance to watch Paint Valley Piketon, and we don't talk about those teams much, you know, with the records not being as good, but McFadden Dunn on the Paint Valley side, you know, Williams, Conley, Lytle, some of those girls. But I think for me, quiet star with, you know, when you look at Huntington kind of coming on this year, Riley Black's always kind of filled the stat sheet. Brayden Collins is a name we hear a lot about. I think what really takes Huntington to the next level is Miranda McCloskey. I think when she plays confident, she averages about four kills, four digs. Well, we know, John, in averages, I mean, sometimes you're better than that, sometimes you're worse than that, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, when she's above that, I think those are the nights they become really elite. So I think Miranda McCloskey is really become quietly an all-league talent there for Huntington, allowing them to play at a higher level.
Right. Who is a team that you expect to see more from in the second half of the SBC season?
Well, I think I'm starting to see it here in the last, I'll say, 6 to 8 days from when we're recording this, and that's the Westfall Lady Mustangs. I think Kristen Phillips coming on, Madison Staten. Those should be two all-league talents for sure at the net and in the back row there with Phillips and Staten, respectively. But I think the setting of Josie Williams, Claire Latham, they're coming on. Even Williams coming back healthy now, attack it, getting going, the defense of Bulldozer and Brown. That's a team that I thought got off to a slow start for a few different reasons, but starting to show signs, and I think the second half I expect a lot more from them.
And then going a little deeper, who's a player you expect to see more from in the second half of the year?
Well, to piggyback on that previous answer, I would say Phillips, although she's really started to pick it up in her last three matches. She's been outstanding. This might sound a little unfair, but just go with me on it. I'm going to say kind of Goble Heiss. And I'm going to say Pinkerton Cottrell. When you look at the top two teams, these are two teams that have a chance to obviously take care of business and set up an SVC championship match. And then they're going to split into divisions. And, I mean, for Southeastern to better last year, it means they end up at Wright State. For Uniota to go on to the regional in D2, I think these are kids that have been incredible. No matter what happens, they've already had amazing careers. But I think these are kids that have a whole nother level that they're going to have to go to push their kids. Because, you know, we always say, John, if winning championships were easy, everybody would do it. And,
right.
And you know, so again, I say this as a compliment to these young ladies, that I think these are the duos that defensively for Uniota, and then I think just in terms of leadership and overall production for Southeastern, that could take these two teams to a completely different level.
All right, and then lastly, what is a hidden headline to look for in the next few weeks?
Let's go with depth of dominance. I think the SVC looks like they're up to the same old bag of tricks, right? As we get closer to Halloween every year, the same trick that the SVC usually tries to pull is, if you don't put them in the same bracket, they seem to just keep winning until they meet each other, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a situation of, if the seeding allows it, we know Uniota will be by themselves there. We got a bunch of teams in Division III that, you know, that are going to fight. And a lot of times I think we have a chance to take all three Southeast spots out to the regional. And then if Paint Valley in Division IV, they've had more of winning mm-hmm. success this year. If they can avoid Portsmouth, Notre Dame, and Portsmouth Clay, I see them in a winnable sectional bracket. So just watch the hidden headline of depth of dominance here for the SVC again in the postseason.
All right. That was called Serve and Receive. And no aces in there for John, but certainly some good returns for Shane. So Well, that was kind of fun. We'll have to do that a little bit some other time as well. We've mentioned several times that we'd like to get your feedback, you, the fans, and you can provide that through many different ways. First, for Shane, his email address is admin1@svcsportszone.com. He also can be followed on Twitter, where his handle is the @SVCSportsZone. And if you want to do yourself a favor, kind of search on the hashtag SVCSportsTalk. That's hashtag SVCSportsTalk. And you'll find stuff put out there by many different individuals, actually, as they try to contribute to the stream of SVC Sports information. Shane also has a Facebook, or has two profiles on Facebook, one being Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and the other one, SVCSportsZone.com. You can hit him up with messages there or post on the wall if you want to do so. For Mr. Bruce, you can email him at jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and then you can follow him and converse with him on Twitter at CoconutWallPapa. And also, he contributes his stuff to the SVC, the hashtag SVC Sports Talk stream as well. And I want to mention you can get Derek Webb's information when he writes about the SVC at dwebwrites, dwebwrites. And then his more of his Buckeye information at DW1509 for Buckeye news information. So Shane, that's how people can contribute to our show. Your thoughts going into the end of this one?
Well, a lot of fun, guys. Great show. Interested to get some feedback here. Make sure you check out John this week, because he'll be out and about. I'll be the same. Mm-hmm. And look forward to a great week. So on that note, guys, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.